say what you know about it.
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast.
Food podcast.
True story.
Chris Stewart, say hello.
Hello.
My brother, Chris Stewart.
Hello.
Culinary giant. Front of house.
I see where this episode's going to go.
Oh, really?
I catch the vibe.
Middle of the house.
And I want it.
Is there a middle of house, Stu?
Nope.
There will be as we're blurring the lines between the two.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I would say the middle of the house is just like that little nook where the waiters and waitresses gather together to share some gossip real quick
with the cooks
as you punch in some orders on the
POAS point of sale.
Oh yeah, and also point of sale. Andre Canaparo in the house, culinary giant. Andre Canaparo,
take it to the house.
They call the cash register at a restaurant POS system, point of sale. But yeah. I never realized until a week ago that like that's a common nickname for a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of them are. Oh, yeah. POS? Yeah, like a POS is like fucking this stupid POS term. Bike.
Yeah. POS. I mean, yeah.
Huh.
Which brings us to the question of the day. Are all point of sale systems pieces of shit?
No.
What's the best one of all time?
Oh, that's so subjective. Depends.
Aloha's bunk, right? Aloha's a big one.
I like Aloha.
You like Aloha?
I like Aloha. I shred Aloha.
I don't have a ton of experience on them.
Yeah, I can.
I get barreled pretty good on Aloha.
Never. Sometimes I get pitted, but it rarely it rarely crashes. Very heavy and very expensive.
Yeah.
It seems like it was one of those things where it's just like they remind me of computers. In like the early 90s, where like it just shit will always went wrong with them. There's just always, like nowadays we're so lucky to have Apple computers that for the most part have no issue ever.
It's true. Yeah, but
I mean there are issues, but like compared to when you're in 1994 and you're using your Windows 95 system or whatever and on your 486 computer and just.
It was just smashing your head on the keyboard.
Constant probs. Yeah. And then when I worked at CineSpace, which is a club that I worked at for a long time, it seemed like every other hour the manager had to be on the phone with the guy from the POS system.
Reboot.
Doing like some troubleshooting stuff. There's just always...
They use micros?
Squirrel.
Squirrel, I've heard, was not the best. The top are... When it comes to like proper full service,
this is also, by the way, not the question of the day. We're not going to talk about this.
Show. Aloha.
That'd be the worst.
We're going to wrap this up real quick.
Aloha and micro. Those are the big ones.
Aloha and micro.
And then now with the quick service stuff, it's like Square and Clover. Yeah. Clover is the one that's like integrated with Bank of America. That kind of snaps and flips from horizontal.
But
to
yeah, it seems like quick. Now finally it took forever years to have. An iPad-based cash register system that looks like a modern piece of software that seems to work all right.
Yeah.
But even, like, I was... I had dinner for a friend's birthday at Chateau Marmont a few days ago.
Humble brag.
Which is... humble brag. I didn't orchestrate it. I was just a guest, which almost is even more of a humble brag.
I like the story behind it, too, if you want to tell that one.
All the tight stuff without the working for it. Yeah, that's great.
How am I going to interweave a POS system, you ask? Well, we had a meal there. It was shitty. The food at Chateau Marmont sucks balls. They have truffle fries that are delicious. But Chateau Marmont, it's like legendary hotel and like best hotel in L.A., like most people's favorite hotels in the country. Like
agreed.
Anthony Bourdain has a whole episode where he just talks about Chateau Marmont being the best hotel ever. People love it.
And people live there.
People live there
for like 2 years.
Like Lindsay Lohan still lives there. Yeah. There's like a, they have like a
which
whole...
is not in the plus column, but we're just giving you some background on the
hotel. You can just call a concierge and ask for anything. Like, hey, my my prostitute just died, and they're like, cool, don't call 911. We got you, fam. Like, hey, I'm overdosing on heroin. They're like, cool. We'll be, what, is that room 328? Right, we'll be right there.
Absolutely, sir.
I need a 6-foot hoagie at 4 in the morning.
Happens. It'll show up.
No problem. Huh. No problem, Mr. Goodman. John Goodman.
Hey.
But we're friend eating the there, pot. And I was looking at their POS system, and it looks, I mean, it looks like when you go to a dive bar in Idaho, and they have the game where, like, the little
Mega Touch
game at the bar.
Mega Touch is the best.
Like, the Mega Touch
shout out, Tri
Towers. Screen where you, like, touch and try to play blackjack on a Mega Touch thing mm-hmm. at a dive bar.
You don't play blackjack. You play Naughty Word Hunt.
Well, you
naughty
play, photo yeah, hunt. You play, yeah. like, the not, like...
The matching game.
Yeah. The matching game. There's the two women scantily clad, and you see which... The bra strap is hanging off on the left one. You click
classic
all that
classic bra strap.
Or sometimes you screw with your friend, and you do the dude one.
But...
You're like, oh, man! Oh, you gotta find naked bros all game? Oh.
I'll do it.
This is a gender fluid podcast today. But the interface for the POS system is the same exact as the Mega Touch. Like, it looks the same, right. feels the same, same level of graphics quality from when half of our listeners were even born, like before then. Just
if you upsell on the special, like lights go off and stars fall down from the top of the screen.
I mean, it looks like Duck Hunt.
Just black and green.
It's 2016 and it has TurboGrafx-16 level
DOS.
Graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the story, I love how the meal got organized at the chateau.
Oh, yeah. The meal got organized. Our friend, they valeted there. And... my girlfriend decides it's a great time to listen to music casually while we're recording a podcast.
It's here in the Friday New Drops.
Oh, wow.
Wrong pod, babe. Wrong pod. Yeah, our friend was in the valet at Chateau Marmont, and the valet, like, rear-ended her car, and which is a bummer, but it has to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And gave her a voucher. $1,000 food and drink voucher at Chateau, which is pretty cool.
Which is very tight.
It's an awesome thing.
Until
to
you told me how bad the food is. It's been a long time. And most of the time I've eaten there, it's been like 3:30 in the morning in somebody's hotel room.
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, that burger at 3:30, it doesn't. I'm not really going to be able to judge that thing.
Right. I mean.
When Matt Sorum is ordering 8 hamburgers to be delivered at 4 in the morning, what are you going to do?
You like, and Keanu had some big nights, man, back in the day.
He used to be mine.
Yeah, so...
And the food bad.
Why at Chateau Marmont, this illustrious...
I know.
No hotel like it in L.A.
Dude, hotel food service is really hard.
It must be really hard.
I don't know.
Did it ever have? I'm sure it's been good at one point.
Yeah,
it could just be.
I think it
right
was
now.
Good at one point. It's
I don't think that long ago.
I don't know, man. I mean, everyone sort of knows that the food there sucks, but you just go.
What
there
did you get? That was a bummer.
Well, we had a prefixed meal.
Oh, mama!
Wow, and that was bad. That's a real bummer.
But the prefixed meal, but like, it's one of those places, like so many, like Beverly Hills, Old Guard type of restaurants where the menu hasn't changed since 1998 or 1988. Just kind of tired old dishes. That
mint jelly.
Not that far. Mutton.
Mutton with mint jelly.
Just mutton and grain.
Yeah.
But like...
Did you get the boiled potatoes?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Lots of shamir.
Yeah, we just had like turnips. That were cooked underground.
Root vegetables?
Underground?
No, there was a charcuterie plate, which was served with toasted bread, but the bread was not there. There's no bread. And the charcuterie plate, I feel like they have a better one at Denny's. It was just the most sad charcuterie plate you've ever seen. And it was family style a la carte, so every course came out just in big bowls or big plates that the table shares.
God, that's so lazy. And
so you just like they bring out like here's a plate. I don't mind if the food's good. If the plate comes out like here's the charcuterie, and like each person gets to have like one slice of like shitty pepperoni and a shitty piece of prosciutto, and you just eat it plain on your plate. Like there's
no green mustard.
There's no toast. There's no mustard. There's no
cornichon.
There was a jar of like
mint jelly.
7 olives, and that was it. it was just olives and whack ass charcuterie though.
I mean, that seems like a bit of an effort to make something that poorly executed.
It's like when Sam or I will go DJ a party, and like the food platter that they put out, like the shitty promoter puts out a food platter. It was worse than that.
Right.
Should have gave you some Cheetos, huh?
Like if you went to Ralph's or Food for Less and like, let me get the meat and cheese tray that you bring to
or you, if you forgot you had to make one and you had to go through your fridge and be like, oh shit, I better put something together. Is this a cold piece of pizza in the charcuterie plate? Like, yeah, it's really good. So,
and smoked turkey. I'll cut it for you.
New meta charcuterie.
It was
cold pizza.
It was dark.
I'm sorry, Chateau Marmont.
So Chateau.
But probably fun still.
Was there a cocaine course?
Had a blast. There's no cocaine.
Off brand.
And oddly affordable wines.
Hmm.
We had two bottles of wine that were $50 each.
That does surprise me.
At the Chateau, that's damn low.
They're like, look, we know this food's going to suck, so drink a lot of this wine.
But was it any good, the wine?
The wine, yeah, it was fine. But then the guy who's suggesting the wine for you is like a sexy 26-year-old actor guy. He's like, I really like the super Tuscany Brioche. And you're like, yeah, well, tell me about it. He's like, it's really good, man. I got a lot of tables, dude. Like, is that like... Nothing about it. Like, you definitely don't go there for the food. Mm. But this is also some great first world problem complaining.
Yes. This is pretty epic first world problem complaining.
I know. Like, the same...
Listeners, beware. Next time you're at the Mermont.
Yeah, this the same week that, like, local is opening and serving affordable food to low-income neighborhood to nourish our youth.
I'm so excited to go.
I'm complaining about the charcuterie at Chateau Marmont.
I haven't been.
We made it.
Do you know anybody who's been a local?
Yes.
Do they like it?
Yes, they did.
I'm excited to go.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what happened?
A little veggie burger. Oh, local.
You went.
I did not. I was asked if someone, I was adjacent,
you guys knew anybody, you went.
Mobbed out.
For listeners, local is Roy Choi, his new restaurant, him and...
Patterson is his last name.
Daniel Patterson. Mm-hmm.
From Chicago.
From Chicago. They have like this... amazing idea to do a restaurant that's affordable. It's the same price point as like a Jack in a Box or a McDonald's, and you get same kind of food, burgers and fries, but it has like a healthy twist on it.
Source responsibly.
And beyond.
I think it's healthy. There's some
they got bowls and they got little breakfast thingies and stuff like that. They have
dollar coffee.
Yeah, I think we talked about it with Zach.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But
it's open.
But it is open now, and it's been open all week long, and there's still a line of 100 people around the corner.
Yeah, there's one in San Francisco, and then there's one in Oakland in the works as well.
Very tight.
Can't wait to
very
give cool. it a shot.
Yeah.
But the thing that was awesome to me about it was they're doing coffee with the guy from Tonks Coffee.
Yeah.
And you could get a delicious $1 cup of coffee, but also you can go there and buy the Tonks beans.
Oh.
And they're $8 a bag.
That's great.
Wow.
That's
so to put that in perspective, like the bag of coffee that I buy every week is from Heart, and it costs $20 a bag, and it's the best, but it's damn expensive, and and I shouldn't be paying that much money for coffee, but I'm hooked on it. And then like Starbucks. Whack ass horrible coffee is like $13 for a bag of it.
Yeah,
or something.
At least
they give you a bigger bag though. So you can't really
scale
that.
A pound
it's a lot more. Like 12 ounces is going to the third wave of coffee. So you got to give you that. That's an extra 4 ounces.
But still, it's cheaper than
but
Starbucks.
But then you can get this Tonks coffee, which is known as a
good,
pretty good damn bean, $8. Like, it's worth the trip.
Well, he sold Tonks to Blue Bottle, and then Blue Bottle got bought by Pete's.
Believe so.
Yeah, and that's
so
what
he's using
I like.
That. He's using
it's like
that.
The dudes who
selling the Tonks money.
I think he's
The guys who are like, I'm going to start this company. It's going to be what I believe in and dream of, and all that crap. And then it does super well, and then you sell it for $50 million, and you're set for life. And instead of just like, I'm going to go to Vegas and have prostitutes and go jet skiing and all that stuff, you're like. I'm going to figure out a way to make really great coffee for $8 a bag so like everyone can afford it and not have to buy like the weird suspect Trader Joe's coffee that's going to be a bummer kind of.
For our listeners, we definitely just completely pulled the figure $50 million out of the air. In case
idea.
Tonks guy's listening, he's just like, I made like $400,000.
Hi, Tony.
How much do you think? I'm going to say... I'm going to say Tonks got bought for $10 million.
How many years ago was this?
Two or three.
What do you say?
I'm going to Google it. I have no idea.
This is a classic The Stew game.
I'll go with a cold mil.
I feel it's closer to
that. I say
10
mil. You say 1 mil. Andre?
I'm closer to like 2 or 3. But also, they partnered up. And so, you know, maybe it was equity in Blue Bottle.
Exactly.
You know, and a little bit of cash or something. But it was still a small subscription operation. Yeah, he didn't, you know, it wasn't like ubiquitously in every coffee shop in LA or anything. But you could be. You could be. Right. I'm not. I just feel like it's a smaller numbers game.
I don't want to be up in Tony's business. A good man.
Yeah, he's a great man.
I don't think it says.
I don't know how you find that one.
It's on the under.
Yeah. That one
but it
be.
Is good coffee.
And the East Sider, maybe.
How very anticlimactic that was.
I didn't see that one coming. I would have been shocked if you found that number.
Tonks, local, check it out.
Check it out. Also, go to Watchtowers while you're over there. Pretty cool.
What?
That's adjacent to the Watchtowers.
Oh, it is.
I mean, it's at Watts, so Watts ain't that big.
It's a very good tourist destination
for
those.
Watts?
I don't think it's very big. Large. I'm talking about square footage,
fam. You think Watts ain't popping, fam?
Nah, it is now.
Hey, Watts, I seen your little city.
Uh-huh.
It ain't that big.
Oh, no. Can we edit that?
For all of our gang affiliate listeners, that was Chris Stewart.
Stewart, not Andre Cotoparo or Jason Stewart.
All the members of the Grape Street Gang on 103rd Street. His name is Chris Stewart.
You can follow him on Instagram.
Yes, Mom. Jason, my brother, just threw me under the gang
bus. Send him an Instagram direct message of emojis of skulls.
Or just a bullet.
And bullet. The gun emoji. Send them all to Chris.
Maybe the little black hole one. That'd be pretty good. Ugh.
The black hole one?
That was really ominous.
Isn't that the best emoji?
It's the best emoji.
Just off topic.
It looks like an inverted hockey puck.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tight.
Mm. It's a damn illusion of the mind.
It's just vague. I love it.
You were just talking. We're going to talk about the best thing that we ate this week first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First, just real quick, two small things happened before we had this. Andre brought over work protein powder.
Damn it.
This is relevant.
Nope. Off topic.
It's not embarrassing.
Hands off, bro.
I make a smoothie very regularly, almost every day.
We smoothie boys.
And I have like a hemp green protein, and I put in like a green superfood powder in there, all this stuff. You have this protein that's like a chocolate protein. You just mix it with water, and I took a sip, and it was pretty delicious.
It was great.
It is a little too sweet for me.
The best tasting.
Like chocolate malty.
Very good, but
sweet.
This protein, it's chocolate flavored, but it's made out of beef protein.
Oh, yeah, God. I'm not sure the process. It got recommended to me by somebody. It's actually
explain exactly how this is the scientific process is made.
All right, you start by night bow hunting some cows, right?
Okay. I didn't know
these are wild caught and stolen calves.
I didn't know these were night shot cows.
Yeah, they're poached. So they're poaching them off a ranch.
It's
poaching, like the stealing or poaching, like you boil them?
Both.
That's gross.
Well, they taste
dangerous.
They taste good if they're grass-fed. They taste great if they're killed under the moonlight.
I don't know. It got recommended to me. It's low. It's very low in cholesterol for an animal-based protein.
I mean, that's what they say about beef, man. Very low in cholesterol.
Ridiculous. But it is very good tasting. Yeah. I mean, it's just something I take a little bit if I can't eat right away after trying to do a workout.
Do you taste any beef in it at all?
I do. Like a very, very kind of slight
hint. There's a little meaty richness.
Like maybe not. I mean, you may not be able to put your finger on it if you were just given it.
It's one of those things where
told what it was, but there is like a little question mark at the end, in not a gross way. It's like, oh, this is different than any kind of soy or whey protein. Mm-hmm,
right.
But it's really good. It's really clean, low cholesterol, clean ingredients. I don't know. There's probably something healthier out there to do too, but it works. It works for me.
Oh, just a little salt and pepper at the end.
Yeah.
I recommend sous vide first and sear after.
And like a Bordeaux.
You like a bouquet garnier in it, and you just let it sit for about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh,
so
get
gross.
Some pearl onions going.
Stewie, you're such a traditionalist.
But it was a hit with
Tastes
everybody
good.
Here in the house.
Yeah, I like it.
So yeah, all of our listeners out there who are listening to a food podcast but want to not eat food and have a chocolate shake instead, boom. Catch me at the gym.
Enter the code DOYOULIFT
for
15% off your first gallon of carnivore meat protein.
Trapped.
Is it powdered beef protein?
It's called carnivore.
It does sound expensive.
It is called carnivore. It is called carnivore, and it's got a really obnoxious label, as you would imagine any kind of
a protein workout supplement has a shitty label? Are you kidding me?
It was weird. It was weird. Yeah.
And another side note that on that very similar note, which is going to be even more extreme. It's hilarious. My friend Scott, Scott Wicken, who listens to the show, and
Scott.
Yes. I have done a bunch of cooking videos with him.
Does he work with the suit company?
Well, yeah, with Combat Gent. So yeah, Scott also Wicken. If you want to see those videos, you can look on YouTube.
It's a sick one at goodgirl.net.
There's a good one at goodgirl.net.
Mama loves them all.
And Andy Riker.
And you could follow Combat Gent on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, and they'll post videos, and then I'll retweet them and stuff like that. But you can go. There's a bunch of me like cooking stuff for you, going to restaurants, all that stuff. But he sent me this link or this image a couple of days ago. The Keurig coffee makers now have beef broth pods.
That is really gross.
Isn't that?
That is ethically disgusting, and that is such a perfect example of a large corporation taking a trend and just destroying it in a way that makes no sense. Like the last place I want beef broth out of is out of a Keurig from a pod.
True that. But also, if you are a real broth head, if you're a broth daddy and you love the stuff and you got to have it on the go, every hotel has a Keurig now. Pop some pods in there, and then into the coffee mug goes your broth, and then you just throw in a couple finely diced potatoes, a couple cuts of your leftover hamburger from your room service, and you have a nice beef stew.
I mean, it might be semantics. The guy who is taking powdered beef protein to argue against a beef broth Keurig pod, but I still am going to take that stand and say that's disgusting.
No, it's horrible and disgusting. I'm just trying to.
What would you do with it?
I'm trying to play brothers advocate here and maybe see if there's another side. We have this is an hour long podcast.
We've already talked about Grape Street Gang, and we've already
talked
about point of sale systems.
But
so.
Then him and I were thinking like, how do you make beef broth powder in that's shelf stable, but then it's also
ramen's been doing it for years.
It's the same thing as the ramen packet.
Certainly a large scale way to do it.
But then we're saying like if we want to make our own like nice artisanal like awesome version of it, would it be the same thing if you went to like Bel Campo or somewhere and got some beef jerky of the highest quality, hit it in the food processor and turn it into a fine powder? Put that in a tea bag, it's still shelf stable in theory, and then you just make beef tea?
I have no idea because I've never tried to make it, but I would imagine you have to dehydrate stock. You wouldn't take like jerky and puree it into powder, I think, because that's going to be a different texture when it reconstitutes than having a dehydrated powder. Or, I mean, a dehydrated stock. Because...
Mm-hmm. Well, then would you have dehydrated
ramen, baby?
Jerky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could totally, because they make, I mean, I don't know if this is the same thing, but do you remember that as a kid?
And also, you'd probably have to steep it for like a day.
Do you remember like jerky snuff? Like, did you ever remember those? Like, they'd be like Kodiak tins of jerky, and it was super fine. Like,
yeah,
super tiny little super fine shreds. I think it was a very big novelty item, but. Yeah.
And you take it orally, not nasally.
not rectally either. but you could take the thing and like smack it with your finger like you were like dusting
dip
up
snap,
some
dip snap
yeah
but so it's jerky. Like it's like chewing tobacco for obese people.
It's like that or training wheels for children to get used to packing something real nice.
Right. It's the candy cigarette equivalent.
Yeah, some wintergreen Kodiak in beef form.
Dude, menthol jerky, is it happening? I think it's happening.
Could
have happened already.
Is chew going to be ever going to come into like the hipster lexicon?
Into
of, like,
vogue?
Yeah. Can that happen?
Well, as long as baseball's not popular, and I don't think it's ever going
to happen. I don't know, man. I mean...
I don't know how it would.
Aside from people doing it ironically, I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
It's pretty, like, it's the most straight shot to cancer as there is anywhere. Like, I think over cigarettes, it's just like you always get some sort of gum disease or something. It's like terrible, terrible.
That fiberglass, baby.
All of our chew head listeners out there.
All our chew heads.
No.
Sorry, guys, but I don't.
Yeah, I'd like
I'd
to
like
see
to keep you around.
I'd love to see the cross section of people who regularly subscribe and listen to podcasts and also chew tobacco. Like whatever that cross section of consumer is like a very special person.
I'd like to get on that newsletter.
I saw like a turn
those NPR up. Ding!
I saw a music video on YouTube that had a lot of views. I don't know if it was called Dip Cup, but it was about Dip Cups by like a rap rock band.
Yeah.
And it was like very popular.
No, there's
and
a lot
whole
of
culture around Dip Cups.
There's a whole dipping generation and culture. Yeah. There's music videos, instructional.
I'm not sure if they live in Silver Lake or if they're in Los Feliz Hills, I mean, but I don't know where they're centrally located.
I think it's Palo Alto.
Alto, yeah. Mountain View. Palo Alto.
I have some friends that are bizarrely really into bull riding.
Bull riding.
Los Angeles, and I think the bull riders, you'll catch them like on an interview, and they're definitely dipping hard.
Is it after like
I think maybe some of the commentators
eight minor racer talking. Shots, and you're talking about being at Saddleback on a on a Friday night?
Stewie has real cowboy up friends.
I do.
You do.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. This is Stewie's last podcast with Stu.
Well, we are from Orange County. It's
we don't like your kind here, boy.
Stuff. Sorry. I think he's a good man. She's a good woman.
And together they make the best bull riding couple that Highland Park's ever known.
Yeah. The more like they're fans of it. They would never touch.
Oh, they don't. They don't grab the rope themselves.
I don't think so.
They watch on ESPN4.
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, like what is it? 8 seconds.
Seconds.
Yeah, that was what's his name?
Wahlberg.
No, from 90210. Perry.
The poor man's Wahlberg.
I think it was his first.
Very poor.
His first feature after leaving 90210.
I think so.
Bull riding was the natural course. From 90210.
8 seconds.
And 8 seconds was kind of a big movie. Like, it wasn't like a small little.
It was released in theaters.
Yeah.
It was a movie.
Eight seconds. It was a movie.
It's like the striptease.
That's the review.
Boy. I bet you there's good food at bull rides.
Yeah.
Bull riding conventions. Isn't that what they call them? Conventions, right?
Bull riding conventions?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I check in for my laminate?
I guess they call them rodeos, not bull riding conventions.
They're still clowns.
For all of our listeners out there,
I was trying to segue into food. What would be good food at a rodeo?
I just don't know because we would never. I mean, maybe I'll go. I'll go one day.
You could do an on-site.
Welcome to another episode of Gripping at Straws, where we try to find some way to circle the herd back to food.
We've been advertising this for a while, and this is going to be Stewie's first bull ride.
The time has come.
This is the episode.
I'll go.
Okay.
Bull riding. I'll go.
We just keep like Stewie. No one asks. He's like, I'll do it. Fine. Stop. I'll go. Please don't go, Stewie.
When we had Zach Brooks on before, we didn't talk about it. I don't think, but the smorgasburg is a thing that has popped up.
What's
it's
that?
Like this big, giant, it's basically like a huge swap meet or flea market style event in Williamsburg that happens weekly during the warmer months, but it's just all food and then like a few vendors of, clothes and jewelry or whatever else, but people can set up their own pop-up Grand Central Market kind of. So it's a huge, huge, huge thing in New York.
And didn't Batali say that it was the best thing to happen to food ever?
Yeah, like Batali, like all these people rave about it. And you basically go and you buy a little stall space, like 20 by 20 space or whatever it is. And it's like $200. And you, and then thousands of people come every week.
You can make that work.
And then you're able to.
You don't do it every week.
And you could set up your shop and make whatever you want and attempt to sell it to all the customers who are ready to buy food.
Pickles going to be coming at you soon at the LA.
Pickles.
But that is coming to LA this summer, downtown by the Alameda Produce Market. It's going to be a huge, huge area set up, and there's like parking for 5,000 cars.
That's the thing. Okay. Parking for cars.
Yeah, parking for cars.
That's going to make it work.
And for your horse. And there's... But you
beer from a horse.
The thing that's interesting about it is it's not just like anyone can do it. You have to apply and submit to let them know like they only have people of a certain quality doing it, so like there's no busters selling there.
No busking?
No buster busking.
That sounds like a lot of work. That's going to be...
It does sound like a lot, but,
wow.
But it can be the kind of thing where like the guy, you know, like Chris from Night Market can set up and sell his pad thai to everyone.
Sauces, yeah.
And make a bunch of money. Or you could be like, hey, I came up with this really dope spring roll, and I'm going to spend $200, go to Whole Foods, get all the ingredients, and make these spring rolls and sell them, and I could make like $1,000.
Yeah. We got our classic Stewie Brothers hot dog spring rolls.
You can make hot dog spring rolls.
They're pretty good.
So whatever you want. So it's a good way of being, instead of doing a pop-up restaurant or trying to actually do a restaurant of your own or gathering investor money to have a store
at
a mall or a Grand Central Market or whatever it is, you have a low-risk, low-investment way of selling your food, spreading your brand, getting customer awareness, and then if it does horribly, then you're out a few hundred bucks. And if it does awesomely, then some guy could come up and say, like, hey, I want you to open up a restaurant and I'll pay for it. And
exactly.
Some cool things can happen. So that's very exciting.
Sounds like an episode of Gilmore Girls.
So when that, I think it opens in LA in June. So I'm definitely going to have something set up there selling stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to. Stugisborg?
Why not?
Shit.
And I'm sure I know.
I think we are.
Sick.
This table, baby.
Let's cover it. We could do the stew there.
We could
hawk the stew for one thing. That's what we do. We just sell ideas.
We're gonna. You could listen to us for free on iTunes, but we'll be selling CDs of the stew at Smorgasbord.
We're gonna be like the woman at the Hollywood Farmers Market who sells poetry.
Yes, yeah. That's us.
Or we're going to be like the scary guy on Venice Beach saying, yo, do you like podcasts?
Yeah. Hey, man.
And then they're going to put the Discman headphones over your head and make you listen to an episode 49 of The Stew and be like, yo, this is...
Bro, you like podcast music?
There's 57 more minutes, sir.
This is dope. Do you have change for 100? So that's happening. I'm excited.
We got to look that up.
It's going to be tight. And also, much like that Alvin from Egg Slut.
Well, that's a whole other thing, yeah.
Unit 120, his incubation space that he was talking about, is now happening. It's open and it's popping.
It's like the Death Star. It's fully functional.
It's fully functional.
It's fully functional.
It's in Chinatown, adjacent to Scoops and Chego, mm-hmm. Below Ramen Champ.
Which is sort of the same thing as the Smorgasburg idea, but on a more... precision scale in terms of you have a restaurant concept and you have a menu and you could be a homeless person or you could be Ludo or you could be anything in between and present it to them, and if they think that it's a good idea, then they'll help you produce a pop-up dinner event, show you how to, you know, in what order you should prepare all the stuff and how you should set up your prep and where you should buy your food and help you with service and everything like that. And then if it goes well, they can help introduce you to lawyers, to accountants, to architects, to investors. Like,
it's insanely cool, and it sounds like I can't picture an undertaking that involves more work every week. Like, you're starting just from scratch every single week.
I wonder. Mm-hmm.
Or a couple times a week.
I mean, it's a big old kitchen. I just checked it out yesterday, actually. I went and got lunch.
Stewie on the inside.
Boots
on the ground, Stewie.
I was just getting coffee.
Did they know you were there?
Huh?
Did they know you were there?
I went inside, yeah. I just ghosted in there. No, I was invited inside.
I know, thank you. I was just kidding.
So for lunch, they're...
Sir, can you... Please, sir, are you invited to this show, sir?
They got me on the security cam, you know what I'm saying?
They know me here. Mm-hmm. So Aim Boy is open for lunch. Delicious wrapped in banana leaves, rice-based dishes.
Amboy.
I think it's Amboy.
Sam is an Am
Boy? Am or Aim Boy? I know it's spelled Am, just Am Boy, just spelled Am. Okay, just for Am Boy.
We just asked our local resident Filipino.
It's like a... Yeah.
So Phil Am is a Filipino-American, Am Boy is an American boy.
Am Boy. Merboy.
American Boy is a hot American track boy. You should yeah. all download and check out.
Even Fred Max did another one in there.
I like that this is himself. A room full of DJs, and then Andre is like, American Boy, that's a hot track.
It's yeah. fire. I'm not sure if you guys have checked it out, but it's got kind of like a London swang.
Oh, no.
For listeners at home, I made Andre a cup of coffee, and it's working.
It's working.
I'm always on coffee.
Heart coffee.
So Amboy is open. That's Alvin from Exlet's other spot. That's like a
so lunch. Real steady lunch opening. Is Amboy every day.
Steady lunch every day.
Nice.
Just so they, you know, keep it rolling. Yeah. And have and it's just a walk up window. And I think there's places to seat inside and outside.
So
pretty
much
simple.
Like Burger Lord's walk up window, and you go sit down in the little yeah. plaza or communal area.
But a more extensive menu than Burger Lord's.
What did you eat when you went there?
I don't think it was turmeric, but it was I believe there was annatto. So it, chicken breast. I think the skin was off. It was really clean, really easy. Just. Easy on my stomach. It's a great lunch. Lots of sticky rice, but not too sweet. Tomato, cucumber, kind of salad and vinaigrette. Like a scratch red sauce. I'm not quite sure what it was. Just like a thinner sriracha with more vinegar.
Seems like it has a little bit of a Hainan chicken rice kind of feel to it.
I suppose, yeah. I would say so.
Some like a plain chicken breast that may have... Do you know how it was cooked?
It was just... I just saw it just right there on the grill. Yeah, the skin was off, which is, you know, it's good and bad. Once I ate it, I was like, oh, I feel really good about this lunch right. decision. Yeah. I'm not like, I don't want to fall asleep because it was right before I started working at a new place adjacent to that area.
Nobody knows.
News alert. I'm about to tell.
All right, baby, it's Yang Chow, everybody. Yeah. The new king of slippery shrimp, your boy Stewie.
Yeah, new job alert on the streets. It was, yeah, so Nev, I think when... He was on the podcast. He mentioned wanting to do Filipino food, but with more vegetarian influence.
And sourced ingredients that kind of stray away from like the hot tray Filipino restaurants you find in Filipino towns.
Or just vegetables, period.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I've noticed that Filipino food is not...
It's pork and chicken heavy.
Less deep fried whole fish that have been sitting under a heat lamp for 6 to 7 hours.
So I'll probably go after this and try another selection.
No disrespect to Filipino food.
No disrespect to Filipino food at all.
But I think it's a thing that needs to happen because like my girlfriend has told me and I've been to family things where it's just like, we don't eat vegetables, you dumbass. When you can eat crispy pork skin.
Carb loads.
And you're like, yeah, I get it.
All right. Glass noodles cracklins. All right.
So it was great. Solid lunch spot. And then in the evenings, I know this weekend they're doing a pop-up for these dudes, Lassa, L-A-S-S-A. And it's...
Who will be guests on the show soon as well.
Guests on the show soon. So, yeah. I think they had a couple spots open for Friday and some openings on Saturday if you want to try to make a reservation. So they're going
to
do pop-ups
in
the evening there.
You're listening to this Friday is yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We posted on Saturday. Yeah, maybe tonight or tomorrow.
But they're going to be a resident.
Yeah, resident for a little bit.
They'll be like a once-a-week thing at maybe twice a week or something at this Unit 120. So you can go and try these young, cool Filipino buds in the neighborhood who are doing... A great menu. Apparently, I've never had the food, but
Orange County Buds.
It's very.
I bet. I'm sure it's very good.
People love it, and like you see the guys at the farmers market every week. Like they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Shout outs to those fellas.
Well, should I say where I'm working now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
You tell me, buddy. I don't know.
You're the gatekeeper, baby. Show us behind the curtain, Oz.
I just wonder if there's room in the podcast for it. An announcement. I'm just teasing. Yeah, I'm going to, as of this Tuesday, I started slanging burgers at the Burger Lord's in Chinatown.
Bang, bang.
Got me a jacket.
Heard it
bang.
Here first.
Peep game. Burger Lord jacket. I got pins. I got a shirt. I got it all. I'll be selling them all at the farmer's market. Just kidding.
So you...
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
So Stewie is now working for Burger Lord's. What are you going to be doing with Burger Lord's?
I'm going to be managing... And then hoping to grow the company, giving the boys more free time to do their sweet, sweet marketing. Burger Lord started out as a really popular Tumblr while the Fred and Max were at Oinkster. And it was so big that, you know, they even like caught a meeting with Tumblr and they have so many followers and that they parlayed it to this restaurant years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a simple walk up. In-N-Out style, picture In-N-Out, but with a veggie burger as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm Mexican just, Cokes, Topo Chico.
Yeah, that's gonna change. We're gonna switch to a Fallon drink. Actually,
okay. That's also soon. Scratch veggie burgers, in case people were wondering.
That's the one thing we're getting there. It's the one thing that's we actually have like a recipe for. Everything else is like slicing onions, slicing tomatoes.
Yep.
Thousand Island is from Follow Your Heart, so yep. It's veggies. Mm-hmm. But the patty we make.
So the
house.
Burger and fries is, you know, almost the exact same as what you would expect from like In-N-Out Burger.
That
elevated and good.
But elevated and good.
The quality better. Of ingredient, you know, it's a plain lettuce, cheese, tomato, special sauce.
Quality onions, SoCal burger.
But like the tomatoes burger. Are really nice quality and fresh. And there's the lettuce is a nice dark green leaf mm-hmm. lettuce. But not some gross, clear iceberg that's been sitting out all day.
Frying the fries.
It's good.
Then and there, they're frozen, so they're so fresh when they're frozen. Just all just like zaps the water out.
Yep.
So they're nice and light and fluffy. Rice bran
oil. Freezing
the
fry really is a method that a lot of people will do even for homemade French fry making, not just because it's more convenient.
It's great. Yeah, you just pop. They have the freezer to the left of the fryer. Just take out bag after bag. Boom, bam.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well.
Yeah, and that way you'll have a nice crunchy exterior and then just a soft, airy, pillowy center.
I eat a lot of fries. Mm. Well, that came from Good Girl, and we have great fries there, spicy yep. fries, and mm-hmm. just like always got like, oh, this, you know, I got a couple little swag fries sitting around. Just like constantly eating fries, so, and now I'm back.
For our listeners, Stu eats all the fries. Food that comes back on the plates from the kitchen is what he's trying to admit to.
Licks them clean.
Why wouldn't I do that? No. Just
yeah, it
there.
Sucks because fries... When done correctly, you really it's like popcorn. You eat them until they are done.
It's bad.
And probably not much worse for you out there in the food world than
yeah,
a French fry.
Why I'm really happy that Amboy is open so that I can get a nice wholesome lunch, because in Chinatown it's hard to eat something that is
yeah.
Like like where I can go right back to work and not want to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
You can like mess Little with one Jewel, of those.
You can mess with I'm forgetting the name, but you could mess with a little Vietnamese sandwich from that newsstand.
That's true. Those are cheap and delicious. But, mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a bad boy, though.
It's a little bit of a mystery. I don't know if it's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. Yeah. And even, I guess, other than the lightest thing over there would maybe be the Pak Pak Pad Thai. And even that's not even that light. Yeah, because Chago is like, I'm going to fall asleep as soon as
Chago.
I eat it.
Yeah, Chago's nice.
Chago kills you.
Yeah. It's all delicious foods. If
well, yeah,
I listening.
Mean, if you get a veggie burger with vegan cheese, like I ate it, I devoured mine, and I
felt
pretty
fine.
Good afterwards. Because it's like a burger that's the size of a burger that's supposed to be. And it's not just like a dumb... crazy giant burger.
A civilized portion.
A civilized portion, the way burgers are supposed to be eaten.
But there's, if you follow on the gram, many a vegan, because the shouts to the vegans, they love Burger Lords. Mm. And they will often go triple patty
triple
on the
patty
vegan burger.
On the vegan burger.
And often they'll have a double, and they'll come back for another one. Things like that.
Really?
There's a lot of like, maybe I'll just get one more for the road, you know?
Well, that makes a lot of sense, as we come from a vegan background where
yep.
if you don't live near Chinatown and you hear about this cool new burger spot that does a really good homemade vegan burger that's not like a dumb burger with sprouts and like a
garden burger patty,
weird bunch of toppings
nasty.
And like a mushroom eggplant thing,
leap.
You know, just weird stuff like that. This is like when you are vegan and you want a cheeseburger, this is what satisfies you. When you're like, oh, that Big Mac looks good, I can't eat it.
Yeah.
This gives you what you want. So you're like, I'm going to eat this, and I don't want this to stop, so I'm just going to get another one. And you eat until you can't eat anymore, because you live in Riverside or
yeah.
whatever, and you don't know when you're going to get your next fix.
And it's so fresh. And so small, A, it's so busy, so it's like we're constantly making them. B, there's no room, so we couldn't even make enough to last like more than really a day, like 24 hours.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it's
freshies.
Like spot on every
yeah.
single time. I've had it a lot of times now, and it tastes the exact same, and it's always easy on my stump, on my tum-tum, which is real nice.
Consistency, baby.
Easy mm-hmm. on your stump. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Buddy.
Very exciting.
The smallest restaurant I have ever worked inside of.
With the biggest heart.
Also, the cleanest restaurant currently.
Yeah, no
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, super clean.
Mainly because they're clean, but also because it's brand new. And it's not, like, when you go to a restaurant, like, we took over the spot, and we gave it a spit shine and and wiped the stuff down. But like, when you walk in this place, it looks like when you go to a kitchen in IKEA, because everything from the tile
gleaming
to the light bulbs to the electrical sockets is brand new. So it's like a museum quality kitchen.
I mean, the flat top started, the plancha is starting to get a little nice patina.
Nice patina,
but that's
you
what
want
you
that.
Want.
You want that, baby.
Yeah, but you know what's like that? Amboy, it's like that too. It's like, wow, this is really nice and crispy and so there's something to be said about a brand new spot. But I'm really excited. It's fun to work with these guys. They're good friends, and it's and I've already just ran into so many people I know. They're like, I don't know you worked here. It's like, well, it's been a day, so. Yeah. So yeah.
Sweet. So well, I'll be there soon.
You'll be there. Needless to say, I'm very
might
tired.
Might be there later today. Who
I'll
knows?
Bring my veggie bro. Oh. All right. We have a new segment on the show that we're going to start doing.
Do we have a sound effect for it?
No. Hmm. We can. Maybe just the
listeners send in your favorite sound effects for our new segment called
The Best Thing I Ate This Week.
The best
also
thing
send
I
in your suggestions week. For the name for our new segment.
I was talking on my other podcast, Tall Tales. We had a guest on named David Cho, who's a friend of ours. Who
Hello, David.
He's been on this podcast.
Who's also been on this podcast, who happens to be a very genius marketing and branding guru person. He works food wise he works with like the John and Vinny guys and Animal and Ludo and all those people, helping out branding for them and other restaurants and projects and stuff like that. And he was giving me some pod strategies, and he was saying, like, you know, when you're reading a magazine, and even if like you don't like who's on the cover and the stories inside might not be that good, you'll still read it because, like, the first quarter of it are the monthly occurring segments that you want to check for. Or, like, if you want to watch Jimmy Fallon and you hate the guests, but you want to watch the monologue or whatever. You know, just, like, something that happens in every show that you look forward to and everything like that. And he's like, you guys should just, every episode, talk about the best thing you ate this week.
Like when you crack that new Penthouse form and you go straight to the comics.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. Even if you don't like the stories that month.
When I go to my sports podcast, I go straight to the picks for the week. I want to know my spreads, my overs and my unders. You get that? No.
I'm in.
Anybody?
All right. So my, and it can be what something you've cooked yourself or something you went out for, but I'll go, mine is something I went out for. I DJed my friend Max Joseph's birthday party this weekend. He's the guy from MTV's Catfish, and he directed the Zac Efron DJ movie that I worked on. But he had his birthday at EP and LP in here in West Hollywood, who the chef is a friend of mine. I've eaten there a few times. Really, really, really delicious Southeast Asian, Thai-ish, Australian-ish restaurant that's awesome. We got to go sometime. But busy Friday night, packed restaurant, and they have kind of chef's table seating in the kitchen where, like so many restaurants will have, where you can pull up a stool at the bar, and the bar is basically, you know, I could touch the guy's mise en place, and you can talk to all the chefs and hang out with them and have a beer with them and crack jokes and, you know, listen to music that's playing and be like, oh, you should play this one song. It's like it's a very good vibe.
Very tight.
Especially if you have no friends at all, and you can just go there by yourself and have a good time.
That Why'd you guys tight. Look at me?
So he sent out a few things for me that were all really good, but the best thing that I had was he calls them Na Ming wings, which is a play on words for numbing Szechuan wings.
Ooh.
Where it's just a very simple preparation of wok-fried wings with the dry, they were dry, no sauce, with the Szechuan numbing peppers. And
just that and salt, not like a five spice or anything?
No, just salt, pepper with the numbing spices and just with some herbs on top, the red chilies, and then you just squeeze some lemon over it. And it was just the perfect amount of the Szechuan heat where you're eating it and it's really spicy and numbing, but it's not enough to make you stop eating it.
That's pretty smart.
And they have
dust and a little cornstarch, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But they have the tall boy cans of the beer lao, which is just kind of like a regular beer, but it's kind of like I think it's a Thai beer, but just like the tall boy Budweiser version
right.
of that. So you just have a cold beer in a frosty mug, and then you're eating these Szechuan spicy wings, and you can just kind of do it all day long. It's so good. I took a picture of it. I'll show you.
Mm. Sounds very good.
There you go, guys.
For our listeners at home, it's a
delicious
of wings with parsley
on the Instagram.
Stir-fried wings, Szechuan and dried chili peppers, scallion, and lemon. And then he brought out the case of beer laos. So
there it is.
You're just chugging cold brews and eating.
I'm surprised it's not a kefir
wings.
Lime. It's a lemon. I like both of those.
Very nice. A lot cheaper.
But yeah, a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I've you mostly get the leaves for the kefir lime, right?
No, I mean, definitely because they're more. You can get the leaves separate.
Well, they're more year-round vibes. Like, we have kefir lime in front of Good Girl, but we don't have, like, the limes on them because they only come around so often.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right, yeah.
Very good.
So, and they also have a really good beef tartare that's served in kara chip? What is it called?
Like car, like that.
Like the oranges?
Like the orange, yeah.
No, not orange. What is it?
A shrimp chip.
It is cassava rice crackers. So Wagyu beef tartare with hot and sour seasonings with crunchy cassava rice crackers and some fresh cucumber.
I guess it does kind of look
that's
like
up your.
Shrimp.
I mean, that's.
That looks fantastic.
It's got Jason Stewart written all over it.
Yeah.
I'm a big tartare fan.
I'll take Salmon.
And then they have the, I think it might be kefir lime.
Well, which one's your favorite? This is the fourth thing.
Yeah, buddy.
Said. Come on now.
And then finally, the green curry abalone served in shell.
Achi machi.
So good. So with a little Thai basil. But that one, I say go there, have a cold beer and some Szechuan wings, and you are in mouth heaven.
Okay.
Andre, you're up.
I got nothing. I got nothing. No, I ate a Doghouse in Burbank to do a yin and yang as far as high and low end.
Doghouse in Burbank is really good.
Oh, it's unbelievably good. And I've heard about it for a long time. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you know we're all huge, huge fans of hot dogs.
God, Lord.
And Burbank.
So it's great. It's kind of got an oyster vibe in the way that it's counter service by number. Really nice menu of different sausages, hot dogs. They have burgers.
Beer. Good beer.
They have beer. They do have good beer. Tater tots, french fries, onion rings, kind of all hand dipped to order. What else?
Well, what did you have?
Well, I was going to say, and they have all their sausages and hot dogs made for them. So they're not getting anything packaged. So it's kind of an original there at Doghouse. There's one in Pasadena and one in Burbank. And I had the cowboy hot dog, which was... I mean, the actual dog itself, just the furter, is so good. I mean,
just the furter.
It is so good. It tastes like it tastes exactly like the hot dog you want. It's got a little bit of crispness. The flavor is so on point. It's really juicy. I mean, it's not hard to say that it's the best hot dog in L.A.
I mean, a really good hot dog, it's hard to argue a better meat flavor than that.
So Cowboy Dog was really simple. It was just crispy onions, barbecue sauce, crumbled bacon.
Shredded cheese? Cheddar?
No cheese. There might. Oh, you know what? There was a layer of really nice American white cheese on the bottom of the bun that got kind of melty from the dog going on top of it. But the big thing on top of them sourcing and having all their own hot dogs and sausages made for them is that they serve everything on their own custom-made bun, which is a topside split New England-style hot dog bun, but it's also Hawaiian sweetbread. So yes. It's a Hawaiian sweetbread that's not overpowering. And it's split from the top, which is my favorite kind of hot dog bun. I find it so much easier to eat that way because it just sits upright for you.
Oh, that's crucial.
So it appears that you get three King's Hawaiian buns that are stuck together and then split in half.
That might be an older picture because the one I had for sure was definitely like a even all the way through bun.
Mm-hmm.
But their sliders come on a single tiny square Hawaiian roll, sweet Hawaiian roll.
So Cowboy Doghouse.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's the one?
Yeah, I need to remember to go to Doghouse. Hot dog is one of those foods where you're like, you feel very guilty eating them because...
And they're charging like $6 a hot dog. You know, it's not super expensive.
That's not bad.
And one hot dog is fine. I mean, it's really...
One,
it's all you should eat if you get a hot dog is one hot dog.
I'm a bad person, though.
But like, it's enough to leave one full and not gut it.
But there's a difference
bad.
Between... One hot dog in the little bun with a squirt of mustard on it.
Yeah.
And then this, which is like a fully loaded
gigantic
meal.
Oh, and their chili is really good too. Very, very simple style drive through chili, but excellent. And I'm sure fresh made the way it tasted.
And I say you put up a really well done, fully loaded, thought out hot dog versus the same version in burger form.
Hot
dog wins all day.
Every
long.
Time.
But it's so overlooked.
When you try to get really out of the box on hamburgers, it just like...
Bun?
It's tough.
It's tough because the subtlety of a really good hamburger patty, it is a subtle thing. Like the flavor from a hot dog itself, a good hot dog, is like it can burst through anything. It's like... And so when you're losing that... When you're just so many toppings on a burger and it takes away from the meat, that shit doesn't happen with a hot dog.
Mm-mm.
It only elevates it, complements it.
It's true.
The hot dog is so strong. That furter in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mein furter?
Doghouse, boys. Lunch.
All right.
Laying down.
I have to go to work.
Any excuse to get over there to Warner's?
I got to eat fries. Checking my boy Robert Evans. Take a meeting.
Oh, that sounds nice.
All right, Stewie.
Stewie,
what is the best thing you ate all week in the last 7 days?
Can I have your help with this one, Andre? Because you were there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sour pork riblets from Pock Pock. The sour pork riblets from Pock Pock. So they look.
Sour pork riblets.
Yeah. So.
I think so.
It's a little starter.
You're talking about the boar collar pieces. No. You were talking about the riblets. We had so many good things at Pock Pock. There were riblets, and then there was the boar collar pieces. Yeah, those are the riblets.
The riblets. So,
served with spicy boiled peanuts with crispy kefir lime leaves.
The skin's on there. They're so tasty.
Yeah.
You get a little cabbage with it. But the riblet, it looks like a pig in the blanket, but instead of the pig being in the inside, that's the bone. So you eat it right off the bone, and it looks like it's going to be kind of dry. It was like, oh, I guess I'll try that little thing.
It was
and
not.
You eat it, and it's so full of flavor, and I don't really know how it's sour and how they cure it. Maybe you have some insight on it. I don't know.
I don't.
I have no idea how they do it. It's their Pock Pock, the new one in Chinatown that's not the Pad Thai version. They're really known for their wings, and those were exceptional, but I think I prefer the riblets.
So it's kind of like, to picture it...
Shots fired.
To paint the picture, like, you get a standard rib, and then you cut into the... Like, you get a rib that's, like, 3 inches long, and then you just cut it into, like, 1-inch pieces
maybe
or something like that.
Yeah, it's tiny. Yeah, it's like...
And is on it, the bone, so you just have these little, it's 2x2 cubes of meat with the bone on, and then they cook...
When it cooks, the meat shrinks a little bit, so then the edges of the bone are sticking on the sides.
It's kind of Fred Flintstone-y. You know, it looks
Honey,
a big
I Shrunk
scale
the Fred
version.
Flintstone.
Exactly. So. And it just was bursting with this delicious flavor, but it was not juicy. It was, the flavor burst.
It was not dry, but not
it,
juicy.
It wasn't juicy. It was a trip. It was such a trip. And they have the other thing, which you said was the beef collar, which is also quite dry.
Yeah, the boar collar.
It's basically
the little tiny pieces.
I think it was boar. Or buffalo.
Boar.
But still, it was basically jerky, right?
That was different. That
was buffalo jerky. We had a lot of stuff at Pock Pock.
Yeah, we had everything at Pock Pock.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, how do you think these ribs were cooked? Braised first and then fried?
No, I mean, they almost seem dried. I don't know how, but it's kind of, for me, looking at a very specific cultural cuisine where you're just like, I can't take a guess until I see how you guys do.
It's kind of cool.
It's
about
very interesting.
That's kind of why I wanted to pick it, because I don't really have a reference for it. I've never had sour pork anything. It was so dry. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a rib, but it's dry.
Was that served with peanuts?
Yeah, it's served with peanuts
and, raw cabbage.
A great contrast. You've got the nice crust of a crunch of the peanuts, and then this like tender beef rib. And then I like a little daikon, maybe a little pickled daikon there. Yeah, some cabbage. Yeah,
it was great.
It's very good.
Oh, that's ginger, raw ginger slices.
That's a big old ginger. Good lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
highly recommend it.
And then if you're a smart man and a stew listener, you will take those bones to go and bring them home. And you will make some...
I don't know if they're Kispaka-esque quality, but yeah, they're tiny little
guys.
They can work. You can make it work.
Free bones is free bones. And pork bones, you don't come across all the time. You get
McCall's sells... I found out this week, McCall's, when they have them, sells their bones for, I think, $2 a pound.
Mm.
That ain't bad.
That's not bad at all.
It's very nice.
They have a lot of bones.
Just the bones that they don't need.
Yeah.
If you thought that Keurig broth could be any better, you should try making your own at home. So yeah, just grab those bones. You know, it's not going to be a bunch. Put them in a pot, fill it up with some water, let it cook all day.
Just put that rib bone inside of a mug, put hot water over it, drink it throughout the day. Boom, you got yourself. It's a sock. Mm-hmm. Steep it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it might not be terrible.
It might not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, listeners.
We did it. We did it. The Stew happens every week. If you like the show, subscribe on iTunes.
We would appreciate that.
We're climbing the charts on the food. On the food.
On the food.
Clawing and scratching.
Every Saturday morning, go listen. Tell a friend. If your mom likes it, have your mom tell a friend. Our moms all listen every time.
Hey, Jill. Mm-hmm.
Thanks to all of our fans, all of our millions of fans. Food powerhouse Chris Stewart is at Stewie Stewart on Instagram.
It's Stu Stewart, I think, actually.
Culinary guru, Undercut and Par on no social media.
No.
I am at Them Jeans on Instagram and Twitter, all that stuff. Make sure to follow me and only me for the coolest pics.
Mm-hmm. The hottest gifts.
And some good gifts. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.